Well, as you guys know, we're going to be having our Financial Peace University. It starts in about a week, and there's still time to sign up for that, and hopefully you will. As Brad said earlier, we kind of gathered together today here. It's Saturday for us, but you're going to be seeing this Sunday morning. Just taking the time to try to be prepared. We want people to stay safe and be warm. We don't want to put people in harm's way, and so we hope that you guys just have a wonderful time with your family today. Just want to remind you, many of you would like to give online. We always offer that. You can go through our website, jchurch.life, and you can find the link for that. And we also want to wish you guys a happy Valentine's Day. I found this little meme. I thought it was pretty appropriate for this year. Our Valentine's Day has maybe been a little bit different. So hopefully you guys love on each other and just enjoy a wonderful moment together. We're in a new series called RE, and just these two words that we talked about last week that talked about this idea of doing something again, to kind of start over, to revisit things that have happened in the past. And today I want to talk about a word. I want to tell some stories today because really the word RE really means to do something again or to reflect back on the past, to look back and to move forward. And so I want to tell you a few stories today. I've got some great stories that I want to share with you, and then we'll get into the pages of Scripture. But I want to talk about this word that maybe a lot of you don't use. We don't tend to use this word a lot in our lives, the word repatriation. Now, you can obviously see immediately that the word patriot is in that word. And what does it mean to be a patriot? It means that you are loyal to the country of your birth. And if you live in a country that you were not born in, we call you an expat or an expatriate. It doesn't mean that you're unpatriotic, or it doesn't mean that you don't love your country. It just means that you don't live, you've been taken out of where you were born, and now you live somewhere else. In the late 90s, when I moved to the United States, I went to college up in Michigan for a while. And on the international school fees, if you got a printout, an invoice of what your kind of tuition and board and all those things were, there was a line in that that only occurred on the international students' invoices. And it was called something like the repatriation fund or something like that. It was usually just a couple of $100. It wasn't really that much money. And for those that were born and grew up in the United States, they didn't have to think about this. But if you were an international student, it was something that the college had to consider. Because it meant, quite simply, that if something happened to you, if you died while you were in the United States, that that fund would give your families the right to bury you. In other words, whatever they had decided, your remains, whether you were going to be in a casket or if you were going to be cremated, they would be sent back, and it would cover the cost of what it would take to prepare the body here, as well as ship it back to your country of origin. It's not a nice thing to think about, and as a 19 or 20-year-old, it kind of gives you a dose of reality to say, wow, if I die, if something happens, hey, at least my family will get my remains. But the word repatriation, it means give back to where you have come from, to give back to your country of origin. We see this in the Old Testament. We have these moments of repatriation where it is the return of the exiles, especially with Israel. Once Israel has been taken into captivity and they've been slaves for a generation or two or 400 years like we see in Egypt, there comes that moment where they want to go back to the land that God has given them. And we see these stories in the Old Testament about those that were the people of God being sent back to their countries of origin, usually to the land of Israel, to the land of Judea, to the land and the cities of Bethlehem and Galilee. People are allowed to go back home. In fact, every 50 years, there was a thing called the Year of Jubilee. And the Year of Jubilee under Jewish law meant that anybody that was a slave was released from slavery so that at least people would have a moment in their lives where they were not slaves, that their kids would be free. Even if they were born into a slave model, they would be freed. This was what God did for his people. But today I want to tell you a story that I have found that most Americans don't know, and they should know. It's a story about a little country called Liberia. And if you can look here on the map, you'll see that it's on kind of the west side of Africa. It's between Sierra Leone and Guinea. It is a little piece of land. Actually, it's quite a substantial piece of land. Africa's a pretty big place. But I want us to focus today on the untold story of Liberia. Because I found that most people don't actually know this story. And you can look on Google and you can verify that all of what I'm about to say is true. But I want to tell you this story today because I think it really matters and I think it's one that everyone should know. In the early 1800s, 1819 to 1822, slavery in the United States was coming into question. And there was this move that really said, we don't want to be slave owners anymore. And there was this organization called the American Colonization Society. And in 1822, the U.S. Congress gave $100,000, which obviously doesn't sound like a lot today, but in those days, it would probably be in the millions in our currency today. They gave $100,000, set aside this fund, so that they could take slaves that had worked to their freedom or that had gained their freedom somehow and was able to send them back to their countries of origin. Now, some of them had maybe been one generation, maybe two, maybe even a few more. But they sent them back if their heritage was from the Congo, they would send them back to the Congo or to Sudan or to Angola or to Zaire or wherever they were from, they sent these people back. But there was only one problem with that, is that what you come to realize if you read anything about slavery is that they took a lot of these nomadic people, these people that lived in tents on the open plains that had these communities, and you took them and made them into these Western slaves. Many of them learned how to read and how to write, and they were educated. Often slaves were more educated than their masters. And so they would send these now educated, freed slaves back to their countries of origin, and something didn't make sense. Something didn't fit. They couldn't really go back in time because they had seen a new world. And so the American Colonization Society purchased this parcel of land, and they named it Liberia. Now, if you look at the coat of arms, which every country has, the coat of arms, obviously the word Liberia, you can hear the word liberty in that. And it simply says at the top, the love of liberty brought us here. And so what they said was, you know, just in case, the fact that we can take these people back to where they came from, but we can give them a country of their own, that they do not have to be slaves in a foreign land. It's a beautiful story. Would you like to see the Liberian flag? Does that look like a flag that you know? What about their money? Do you know that the U.S. dollar was used in Liberia until 1980? It was used for 160 years. It was credible currency. And then they had their own Liberian dollar, the freedom dollar, and you can even see they look so similar. They even have some of the same people on the notes. The reason why I tell you this story is because we should tell good stories. Why do most American people not know this story? Now, sure, Liberia has had a lot of civil war and discord, and a lot of bad things have happened since then, but the spirit of how this country was started was beautiful and wonderful and something that should be celebrated and known. And I'd encourage you to get online and go and read some of these beautiful historical accounts of how people tried to make things right. It's a good story, and we should tell good stories. Because we are God followers, because we are Christians, we learn very quickly that Jesus is the best of all the stories. That's why we call it the gospel. It means good news. It really should be translated as great news or the best news. Because when we follow Jesus, we get to be a part of a good story. If you watch movies or you read books, we love happy endings as people. What that really tells us is that all the good stories in our lives are about one thing, and that one thing is called reconciliation. Now, if you know this word, and if you look up this word, reconciliation is a transactional word, meaning that it was used primarily to tell people, hey, I'm going to give you this much money, and you're going to give me this service or these goods. And we reconcile. In fact, if you are in the accounting field, you will do bank reconciliations, means you will account for where all the money is. And when we talk about reconciliation in relationships, relationships are restored. That's what reconciliation is, when something transactionally has taken place between two people. And think about it, it doesn't always have to be money, but it has to do with maybe you and your spouse have a fight. And then one of you says, I'm sorry, I was wrong. They've offered an apology and in return have received forgiveness, and now the relationship is restored and it can move forward once again. If you read the pages of Scripture, you realize that sin disrupted this world, this relationship that we had with God, but Jesus reconciled it. Jesus made it right. What we see with Adam and Eve in the garden, what is broken there is made right in Jesus. This is why when we read Paul, when we read the things that he says, he talks about this idea of reconciliation. In Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, it says this: For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, talking about Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. It says in this text that when we are reconciled with God, we find peace, or peace is gifted to us. That there is a fracture in our relationship with him. But as Jesus comes near and pays the price, the transactional language is there. He puts down his life in exchange for ours. And in so doing, the bank balances match. And peace is offered in the midst of it. Paul will write this a slightly different way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a passage that we know so well. But in 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 17, Paul says to this church, he says, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the reconciled creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and then gave us a ministry of reconciliation, meaning we now go and share that reconciliation with the world. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against him. Can you hear the transactional language? And he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. In other words, we go with the heart of reconciliation, and the words that we speak are about Jesus making things right. Therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors. Who better, right, to speak for God than those who have experienced his reconciliation? As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Another word for that is the gospel. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Reconciliation allows righteousness. Even though righteousness is not about being holy or about being religious, righteousness is about living our lives with different rules because things have been made right between us and God. It's not a righteousness that we deserve. It's not a righteousness that we earn. We are not good enough, but we are made good enough because God's heart is reconciliation. And that allows us to live into a new story, a beautiful story, a story that is not told with the shackles of slavery, but a story that lives in righteousness and peace and ultimately freedom. This is why when Paul writes in Galatians 5, he says it so simply and almost obscurely. He simply says this, "Therefore, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free." It's not for slavery or for dominance or because God wants something from you. God has set us free through Christ simply because he wants us to be free. "Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." If you drop down to verse 13 of Galatians 5, he says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh." A nice way of saying, don't use your freedom to just sin or live the way that you once did. "Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Reconciliation brings freedom to people that never thought they could experience that. I imagine if you went back a couple hundred years, almost to the year, and those first people set foot on their new shore, a land that was theirs. Yes, they had a lot of work to do. They had things to build, infrastructures to put in place. But they were free. And it was in the midst of that freedom that this new nation came. Because there were people who cared enough about reconciliation. And that reconciliation brought freedom. And today we don't have slavery, at least not here. There are parts of the world where that's still a problem. And the reality is it's because those places have not been reconciled, and maybe more importantly, that those people have not been reconciled to God. Because when you experience that in your life, it changes the way, it should change the way that we live that out to a world that needs to see freedom. Reconciliation repatriates us to God. It's God coming into our lives and saying, "You are mine, and I'm going to pay the price for you because I don't want you to be a slave. You've gone down this road, and you've become a slave of sin, and you've become a slave of indulgence. You've become a slave to your desires. That's not why I made you. I didn't make you so that you would be shackled to the corner. I made you so that I could buy you back, that you could be free." And one day we will all be repatriated to the place that we all belong. We're all going to go home. And while we live here, yes, we live as expats, and maybe we borrow a country, a piece of land for a lifetime. But this is not our home. And God has made preparations. There's a line on the letter of our life that says, "When this life ends, I'm coming to get you. You're going to come home." That's what reconciliation is. It's about going home. Sometimes I think it would change the way we live if we realize that where we are and when we are is just temporary. That our eternal home is with God. And that's a good story. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Thank you for sharing your time with us. I hope that this gives you some encouragement. I hope that you stay warm in these next few days, that you stay safe. But make sure to sit around today when you're drinking hot chocolate or when you're sharing, and just tell good stories. Because good stories are where God resides. Good stories lead our lives forward. Good stories are all about Him, and we should celebrate those. Let me pray for us today, and then we hope you have a great week. Father, thank you today just for meeting us in this place. Thank you for sharing your story with us. Father, thank you so much for allowing Jesus to pay the price of our sins. Sometimes we don't thank you enough for that. Sometimes we just expect that as Christians. But God, thank you Thank you that you paid our lives in full so that we can be reconciled to you and that one day we can come home. Pray that you would bless us this week, you would keep us safe, you would constantly just remind us that we are yours and that we are free. And it is all because of Jesus that we pray and share these things today. And the church together says, amen.